Today's presenting sponsor is SimpliSafe Home Security. You getting anywhere warm this winter? While February might mean a getaway for some, it's prime time for burglars. SimpliSafe ensures your home stays safe while you're off enjoying that much-needed winter escape to warmth with proactive protection that helps to stop threats before they even have the chance to break in. Lovett's got SimpliSafe. Did you guys know that? Set it up himself. And, you know, it keeps you safe. It's great technology. You can use it right from your phone. It's nice and easy, easy to set up. Traditional security systems only take action after someone's already broken in. That's too late. SimpliSafe's Active Guard outdoor protection can help prevent break-ins before they happen. AI-powered cameras backed by live professional monitoring agents monitor your property and detect suspicious activity. Someone's lurking around or acting suspiciously. Those agents see and talk to them in real time, activate spotlights, and even contact the police all before they have the chance to get inside your home. No long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Monitoring plans start affordably at around $1 a day. 60-day satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Named Best Home Security Systems by U.S. News & World Report 5 years in a row. Ranked number one in customer service among home security providers by both Newsweek and USA Today. And right now, our listeners can get 50% off their new SimpliSafe system with professional monitoring and their first month free at simplisafe.com/crooked. That's simplisafe.com/crooked. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's up, Melbourne? Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm Jon Favreau.
I'm Jon Lovett.
I'm Tommy Vizor.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer.
What a city. We're such fans.
We love this city.
We are not just saying that.
No, we didn't do this for other cities. I'm not going to name any names.
All right, so we got a big show tonight. In the 5 days since we've been gone from the U.S., the president has tried and failed to arrest several members of Congress. The attorney general had a public meltdown over the administration's continued cover-up of a child sex trafficking ring. And the Department of Homeland Security is headed for a shutdown, but not because they used an experimental laser to accidentally shoot down a party balloon over Texas without giving aviation officials a head up, forcing them to ground all traffic, air traffic over El Paso. That's not why the department's closing down, but we'll get to why it is. But let's start with a very important public health announcement from the top U.S. official in charge of our nation's well-being.
I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats.
There he is. Another Kennedy winning hearts all over America.
That is the most I've ever believed RFK Jr. This is a man who saw a dead bear carcass on the side of the road in upstate New York and thought, let's give it a ride to Manhattan. That's his vibe.
We think that the cocaine fell and he just didn't want to waste any of it. Like, there's no reason he was, like, trying. Like, what was the purpose of...
Listen, I'm not like a cool guy.
I know he's a conservationist.
I've not been offered cocaine often in my life. People just don't look at me and think he'll do cocaine. But I'm pretty sure the toilet seat is never the best option for doing cocaine.
Yeah. Was he in a bathroom? I mean, he has to be in a bathroom.
I don't think he's at Home Depot.
I think he's like a public.
Is it IKEA? Yeah.
Where were the follow-up questions in this interview?
I think it was with Theo Von, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's get to the actual news. Believe it or not, the RFK Jr. clip was not the craziest performance of a Trump cabinet secretary this week. On Wednesday, Attorney General Pam Bondi tested...
Wow. Ooh. Sorry, Bondi. That's our fault.
Playbook did title the story about this Bondi Beach.
Ugh.
I know. Yeah, exactly. She testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee, where she was asked to provide candid answers about the government's handling of the Epstein files. That's what this hearing was about. Let's take a listen.
How many of Epstein's co-conspirators have you indicted? How many perpetrators are you even investigating?
First, you showed it. I find it.
How many have you indicted?
Excuse me. I'm going to answer the question.
Answer my question.
No, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to answer the question. Sorry. You don't tell me
anything.
Yeah,
I did tell you because we saw what you did in the Senate.
Lawyer, not even a lawyer. Have you apologized to President Trump? The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000, and the NASDAQ smashing records. That's what we should be talking about. This guy has Trump derangement syndrome. Don't you ever accuse me of a crime.
I believe you just lie under oath.
Her district includes Culver City, and she's not talking about any crime in her district.
But we're going to move back to you.
I bet we are.
Yes, of course, because you're here to testify.
That's the idea. You come here, you say, we go back to you, because we're asking you questions.
It's unbelievable. It's a great Steve Martin joke where he's at the Kennedy Center Honors for Paul Simon. Kennedy Center was a building we used to have before Donald Trump blew it up. And Steve Martin says, you know, I could sing the praises of Paul Simon, but this is neither the time nor the place.
Love it. If you were Pam Bondi's communications director...
And you almost were.
And you almost were. And she walks out of the hearing room. She hasn't looked at social media yet. And she says, John, how'd I do?
I think I'd say, wow. You did your best out there. And you really gave as good as you got, boss. Hey, late at night... You can't hear God anymore either, right? Like, you used to be able to hear something that felt like connection to, like, an ever-loving presence, and now it's silent, right? That's true for you, too. Not just me. Are we all? Because at night, when it's really quiet, it's getting quieter than it was, and you're like, what's missing? What's the quiet in the quiet? And it's like, is that me, or you feel that? You feel that, too. Great job out there, boss. The boss is going to love it. I'm really happy with
my... Has the president called yet? No. Tommy, aside from the crash out that we just witnessed, were there any answers or revelations from the hearing that you think will keep the story going or cause the administration some problems?
Yeah, there are a few like factual things. One, she was repeatedly pressed if they were going to indict anyone based on what's in the Epstein files. And I think she said something like, we have pending investigations in our office, which seemed like news and seemingly contradicts what the FBI director Kash Patel said when he said there was no one to indict based on what he'd seen in the files. Second, she said she claimed not to have known that Ghislaine Maxwell was going to be moved to a minimum security prison, which seems impossible to believe and suggests to me she may have perjured herself.
Mm.
Bigger picture.
And she said it wasn't actually a minimum security prison.
Which is bullshit. Bigger picture.
What is a minimum anyway?
Yeah. Saying we shouldn't be talking about prosecuting child predators because the Dow is at 50,000 is one of the most fucking insane things I've ever heard anyone say in politics in my life. And
that is the line, though. It is the, like, 49,000.
Yeah, you were
good.
Guess
where it ended today? 49,000.
And like, but
watch out, co-conspirators.
And I do think it was like permanently damaging. It just not just because of the insanity of the comment, but the degree to which it broke through. Like my TikTok and Instagram were full of people commenting on this. Like the Gen Z reporter at Barstool Sports was talking about how insane this was. And then there was also this moment where she was asked if she would apologize to victims of Epstein's crimes who were in the back based on how badly DOJ had bungled the release of the files and put out names and graphic images of people, and she would not look at them. She would not apologize to them. She would not give an inch. And I think like this performance drew so much more attention to Donald Trump's worst issue that I know she was performing for an audience of one, but I think she made it exponentially worse by acting like a crazy person.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also another moment in the hearing where Congressman Dan Goldman had there are 10 of Epstein survivors who are in the audience, and he asked them, how many of you have been interviewed by the Department of Justice? And none of them raised their hands. He asked you, how many of you would be willing to share your story with the Department of Justice? They all raised their hands. And so you just have to think about this, is they have a bunch of emails with people on record admitting to or very seriously implying being involved in child sex trafficking, talking about torture videos, talking about incredibly young girls, and they have not even asked the women who were involved about this. Like there is no effort to investigate the most famous, maybe largest child sex trafficking ring in American history. And the reason that is because they don't want to know the names of the people that they're going to say.
Yeah.
Because once they start pulling on the strings, a lot of people who may be friends with this administration, friends with this president in this administration, their names may come out.
And you do think that, like, as we go forward, that is something that reporters can keep pressing them on? Like, they are willing to be interviewed. You were at the hearing. Have you interviewed them yet? Like, that's something that's going to be hard to just keep running away from.
And it because she was flipping around her briefing book so much, it was revealed that DOJ has surveilled members of Congress and knew what terms they were searching for when they were looking through, I assume, the unredacted Epstein files, which is an insane thing to do. That would be a massive scandal in any other administration.
Yeah.
This is, by some measures, perhaps the largest or most consequential political scandal in American history. You have the federal government of the United States from the top, from its absolute highest level covering up and protecting people involved in child sex trafficking because those people may be friends with, donors to, or colleagues of the President of the United States.
Yeah. Like the Commerce Secretary, who we found out went to the island with his family.
He brought his children to Pedophile
that's
Island,
where you
so
take,
that's
you
fine.
You want to take your kids to Epstein Island as a trip after you said that you broke off relations with him years before.
Got to get the fast pass, though. It's a Disney joke. It's okay.
Oh, do you think they didn't understand? Do you think that's why they reacted that way?
We were told not to dumb it down. Yeah, specifically.
So, Dan, here's a Politico headline from a story about the hearing. House Dems think Pam Bondi just helped them in the midterms. What do you think?
Yeah, that's putting a lot of weight on a congressional hearing that happened midday Wednesday in early February.
We do have 9 months. Is that what you're saying?
I think there are two bigger questions here that come from this hearing and the entire thing. The first is, what impact will the Epstein files and cover-up have on politics? And the second question is, how should Democrats talk about the Epstein files in the midterm campaigns? So let's start with the first question. It's obviously going to have an impact. This is a rare monocultural event in American politics. It has been, honestly, the biggest story in American politics for 9 months now.
Yeah.
It dominates everything. Everyone talks about it. Even it's broken out of the political media bubble. It is your non-political podcasters are talking about it. Influencers on TikTok and in YouTube are talking about it. It is broken through and away. And in our politics, there are so few moments like that that it's impossible for not to have an impact. So then the question is, like, how do Democrats talk about it? And it absolutely should be part of our message, but I think it needs to be a data point about a larger story. And that larger story is that in America, there are two sets of rules, one for elites and one for everyone else. And that dynamic is why rich people get tax cuts and Americans get kicked off their health care. It's why politically connected fraudsters get pardons from the president and hardworking, law-abiding people in America get thrown into vans because of the color of their skin or their accent. And it's why the Department of Justice will not even talk to the victims because they're so worried that the elites will get in trouble because of it. And that is the story, that is an absolutely true, believable story of America. It's actually the story that got Donald Trump elected twice. And the fact that he is now on the wrong side of that, that he is not someone breaking up that cabal as he tried, he is one of the elites protecting other elites, that is a mortal political wound for him. But we have to tell that story, we have to tell it aggressively. Because if we get too wrapped up in the specifics, I think you lose it. It's gotta be, it's not just the Epstein files. Even though the country believes that he's covering something up, even though the country believes that there should be transparency, there should be more investigations, it has to be part of this larger story.
Yeah. I also think her conduct at the hearing is like a perfect example that illustrates that story, because people who are tuning in and, you know, like Tommy was saying, this like broke beyond the political bubble and everyone's just, people are watching the Attorney General of the United States sit at a hearing and just refuse to answer a single question, scream at members of Congress. And midterms are about, you know, a referendum on the party in power. And they're about like whether you want to have checks and balances and whether you want to hold an administration accountable and you want to have some balance of power in the country. And having Pam Bondi up there scream for a half hour and refuse to answer questions and talk about the fucking Dow when we're talking about child sex trafficking, it's just going to strike most people who don't even pay attention to politics as like, what the hell? Why shouldn't she have to answer questions? She works for us. She's the Attorney General of the United States.
I understand from her own personal politics why she acted like this, because this is apparently what people think Trump wants. But this is the last thing that Trump should want attention being drawn to. It's like robbing a bank and having your getaway driver light herself on fire outside the bank. Like it's not a good plan.
Yeah, you won't get away. It's also, I think, worth saying, like, why is she doing this in this way right now? And I think it's because she's on her heels, right? There's lots of stories about Trump being pretty upset with her, and rightly so. This began with Pam Bondi saying that the list was on her desk, and she sent a bunch of people with binders out called Phase One before Kash Patel said there is no list. And so she
and
is
that
just,
was when the doubt was at 45,000.
Yeah. And so I think, like, ironically, her fealty to the president and constant fear of losing a news cycle and then, like, earning his wrath has put her in a kind of an impossible situation, because everyone knows she's just a vassal for Trump and that she's performing for an audience of one. That actually makes it impossible for her to do anything to help him with the scandal, because everyone knows she's not an independent arbiter of justice. She works for him. And so there's really nothing she could do. And by the way, their decision to like redact these things has allowed the story to continue rolling out. Now there's all these news cycles about day after day of like, oh, who was this email from? We want to unredact this. We want to fix this. Like, she is stuck in a loop where, because she is so devoted to Donald Trump, she can't solve the problem for him.
Pam Bondi's had a few other big L's this week. She and the president tried to indict 6 Democratic members of Congress for exercising their First Amendment rights, in this case, reminding members of the U.S. military that the law does not require them to obey illegal orders. Thankfully, not a single American serving on a D.C. grand jury voted to indict. Was it because criminalizing free speech is a nightmare that our founders probably had? Or was it because the prosecutor assigned to the case runs an active dance photography studio and has zero experience being a federal prosecutor? We'll never know. We'll never know. It's maybe some combination.
It's a weird combo.
Yeah, weird combo.
It's like, members and ladies and gentlemen of the jury, position one, position one, position two, position two. Plie, plie, and spin.
Honestly, if you go to the Instagram feed, some good work.
Really?
Good work. Yeah, the photography's not bad.
Is she dancing while taking photos? Is that the deal?
No, I think she takes photos of dancers.
Maybe it was a confusion because she...
It's a he, by the way.
Okay.
Because Piero had thought he had taken the bar.
Tommy,
Yeah.
Should we feel relieved that our legal guardrails held, or should we be terrified that Trump and Bondi tried this in the first place?
Yeah, no, I don't. DC grand jurors have become a surprising bulwark against creeping fascism, whether you are a member of Congress or just a dude drunk hucking a sandwich at a nice guy. Shout out to DC grand jurors, but I do not think that can hold. Like, as we've all seen, there are judges and jurisdictions that are far more likely to do Donald Trump's bidding. And I assume that at some point, DOJ or somebody will find ways to route these cases there. Earlier today, though, I spoke with one of the six elected officials who they're trying to prosecute. And this person told me that they thought that Trump is going to try again, maybe as soon as tomorrow. So,
which is yesterday in America.
Which is yesterday.
So it's already, no, okay.
With another grand jury. And so maybe it won't work again. Maybe it will fail. But look, I mean, these people, you have to hire a lawyer. It takes time. It takes money. It is intimidating. And like, in this case, it seems like they fucked with the wrong six people, right? But there will be a whole host of other people who are far more willing to be silenced, to be intimidated. For every Mark Kelly, there's a Mark Zuckerberg who has tremendous money and power and just turtles, or a Jeff Bezos, or a, Tim Apple, Tim Cook.
Yeah,
Tim Apple. Went to the Melania documentary premiere for Amazon. So I don't think we should feel good about this.
Love it. A federal judge, speaking of Mark Kelly, just blocked Pete Hegseth from retroactively demoting Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, his military rank, and reducing his pension, also because of the illegal orders video. Hegseth then responded to say he's appealing. Like,
and he's not. Stop it. Stop it.
Not anyone gets to be the understudy on the weekend Fox show. Why do you think they don't seem to care that they just keep losing these fights? Like, they're not worried.
So I think it's a couple things. I think, to Tommy's point, the process is the punishment. They just want to make their lives miserable. They want to make them feel afraid of the process and what the worst case scenario could be. This could go to a grand jury, and that could go beyond it. This could cause your pension to be reduced. I think there's a reason that Jeanine Pirro is now stuck going to a dance instructor / lawyer to kind of do this thing. Like, this is, they're not sending their best. Pete Hegseth, like Pam Bondi, is just trying to keep his head above water. He is just grossly unqualified to do this job. You can see it on his face. I'm sure he feels it in every meeting he is with serious people where he's pretending to be in charge and pretending to be on top of it and pretending to have earned the respect of generals who can barely stare him in the face. They're all just trying to stay one news cycle ahead, right? They get a defeat, so he says, we're going to appeal it. Why does he have to say that? So it doesn't look like they lost, right? They're always just trying to stay one step ahead. And I think it's important just to, like, I think sometimes, like, these people, we don't have to imbue them with magical powers or sort of kind of prognostication abilities. They're trying to figure this out one day at a time. And I think Pete Hegseth is just trying to stay ahead of the weather. Like, I really do think that that's a lot of what's going on.
So, Dan, like, I could see that most Americans, first of all, if they have heard about this story, and probably many haven't, but those who have heard about it, you know, it's like, Donald Trump is, you know, trying to indict people and politicians and does it. But like, this to me is a genuine, like, if not constitutional crisis, like democratic crisis right now, that the president is, just because he didn't like a video, trying to use the Justice Department to arrest sitting members of Congress. Do you think that, like, this is something that might break through? That maybe Democrats should talk about this? And, you know, what do you think?
What do you want me to say, John?
You know what I want you to say.
And this is, you're right. This is an absolute crisis. The President of the United States is criminalizing opposition to the regime. Like, that it is as authoritarian as it can be. The only thing standing in the way is our American citizens serving on grand juries. It is what's kept Jim Comey, Letitia James, Lisa Cook, and a bunch of other people from actually being prosecuted, right? Being indicted by their government and then brought up on criminal charges for what is essentially anchoring the Mad King. Now, the way to talk about this, I think, is like we know that people do care about this. In polling after polling, majorities think Trump is going too far. Majorities think, including strong majorities of independents, and even a swath of Republicans think Trump is a threat to democracy. There are, you know, huge majorities, particularly of independents, but the country as a whole, who think that the government under Trump is a threat to free speech. Like, they're aware of this. What is really bothers people the most, and maybe this isn't say the most, the since say the best things about the voters who will decide our election, is it's not just that Trump is doing this. It's that he's doing this instead of the other stuff they elected him for. Right? There's a whole bunch of people who elected Trump. They knew this risk, right? They heard him say these things. Maybe they thought we were being a bit hyperbolic in how we described it. We weren't. Maybe they didn't really like him. They didn't like a lot of his policies. But they really believed, given the choices they had, that he would do a better job of making their life a little bit easier by lowering prices. And then since he's been in office, he's done everything but that. And that's where this really hurts him, right? Like, we just, people care about democracy, but what they really care about, like I said, maybe this doesn't speak incredibly well of our citizenry, but what they really care about is, because like if you're in a position where you are not making ends meet, that's what's in front of you, because you're trying to feed your family, you're trying to save money for retirement, you're trying to put your kids through college, and that is always going to be first and foremost, and that's where he's failing. But in part, he's failing because he's doing all this other shit instead of that.
Yeah.
Is that the answer you wanted, or you wanted me to say?
Well, no, yes, of course. I also think that, like, you think he's going to stop at members of Congress? Like, he could do this to you. He could do this to anyone. And what happens when he starts doing it to people who are not well-known, who can't hire attorneys, who are not going to get, like, the public behind them because no one's going to know that it happened to them, you know? Like, at some point, you have to make the argument that, like, this is not about Trump fighting with other politicians or Democratic activists or organizers, but, like, everyone is at risk if the president of the United States can just go try to arrest people, throw them in jail for exercising their rights. And, I mean, look, and this is why we'll talk about it, but, like, this is why ICE and immigration, this is why he's so unpopular on that, too, because it is, people are starting to realize, because they're seeing it in their communities, that no one is, if some people aren't safe from this president, and the law doesn't work anymore, and the law is not upheld, then no one's safe.
I mean, that's why the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy broke through in the way they did, because it is evidence, everyone's worst fears came to fruition, which is, at any point, the government can do anything they want to any American and face no accountability for it.
Yep.
Yeah, I do think there's like a virtuous feedback loop in which it's... What stands in the way of it is, yes, it's a group of grand jurors, but it's bigger than that, right? The fact that there is not some mass movement behind Donald Trump, he's not the leader of a popular front that wants to criminalize being a Democrat, and that is sort of that erupted to help him execute the day he was elected, that they don't have enough lawyers to do the kind of prosecution of their enemies. They don't have the kind of expert group. They don't have the popular will behind them. It means that, yes, grand juries are going to stop him, but so are judges. It means that when Trump tries to go after the head of the Fed, there's pushback from Republicans as well. Like, he doesn't have Democratic legitimacy for this, which is why it's important to make the argument that you're making, to make the case, because even if that doesn't result in them, that will be felt inside of the legal process, because the law is what we say it is, and it is what judges say it is. And if they feel empowered by the public, it will allow them to do more and be another check as we go through it.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Bombas. Whether you've been able to stick to your resolutions this year, there's one goal that should remain at the top of your list: get comfy. That's where Bombas comes in. They're bringing serious comfort to all your everyday go-tos. The all-new Bombas sports socks are engineered with sport-specific comfort for running, golf, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, and all sport. They're cushioned where you need it most, sweat-wicking, and loaded with other tech features to keep you comfy and locked in. For those everyday around-the-house resolutions, Bombas also has you covered with the comfiest footwear imaginable. They got luxurious Sherpa Sunday slippers that feel like walking on clouds. Slippers. I could get into some Sunday slippers.
I need some new slippers.
Slides made with a super comfy and lightweight EVA, the Friday sandal. the new squishy Saturday suede slip-on shoe for comfort on the go. And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/cricket and use code CRICKET for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/cricket, code CRICKET at checkout. Pod Save America is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to.
Or at all.
I'm too old. too old. I have to make a choice. I either have a great night or a great next day. That is, until I found Pre-Alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I mean,
I just want listeners to know, I literally won't have a drink without a ZBiotics. I know there's a lot of kind of snake oil in this space. You might be skeptical. Try it. Try it one time. You get 15% off, and then it's 100% money back guarantee. You've literally nothing to lose. But every single friend I tell about ZBiotics becomes a subscriber.
Literally no one has said, this was bullshit, guys.
Nope.
It didn't work for me.
It works.
Never heard it.
It works.
Ready to try it? Go to ZBiotics.com/crooked now. You'll get 15% off your first order when you use Crooked at checkout. Plus, it's backed by 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/crooked and use the code Crooked at checkout for 15% off.
Melbourne, you're all here because you follow American politics. And we're here because you follow American politics. And we appreciate that, but do we appreciate it enough to learn even a tiny fucking bit about you? Let's find out. Tonight, we're going to test our knowledge of each other. I'm going to ask members of the audience, I'm going to come out there now, questions from the American citizenship test. And I'm going to ask my best boys up here questions from the Australian citizenship test.
Oh, no.
All right, I'm coming around. It's going to take me a second.
I got another drink for this.
I think you can probably still hear me. There's a long route. The, legally speaking, they said I wasn't allowed to jump down from the stage because even though I act like I'm not, I am technically over 40. I don't even know if you guys can still hear me. Okay. All right.
We hear you.
Ooh, too loud. Hi. All right, so here's how this is gonna work. I have some questions here about what it takes to become an American citizen. A little bit like buying Bitcoin now. But when I, here's the thing. The motto of Pod Save America, buy the dip. All right, who would like to go first? Oh, and by the way, I love our Americans who are here and our expats who are here. We're so grateful. I'd like Australians to help. Anybody want to raise their hand? All right, I'll come to you. Hi. Hi, what's your name?
Jayanthi.
Okay, hi. Not gonna try, I'm sorry. All right. Now, I will one note about this. The American citizenship test, you just have to know the answer, but we publish the full test. The Australians, you have to read a book. But the questions are multiple choice.
Ooh.
Interesting. All right. The idea of self-government is the first three words of the Constitution. What are the first three words of the U.S. Constitution?
We the people.
You got it.
Good.
All right. John. Tommy and Dan. What do we remember on Anzac Day? Is it A, the landing of the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps at Gallipoli, Turkey? B, the arrival of the first free settlers from Great Britain? Or C, the landing of the first fleet at Sydney Cove?
What's the day called?
Anzac Day.
Anzac.
A-N-Z-A-C, what we all know.
Say the options again.
Yeah.
The landing of the Australian New Zealand Army Corps at Gallipoli. The arrival of the first free settlers. The landing of the first fleet at Sydney Cove. Come on, fellas.
First World War is what we were told.
I'll give it to you. That's correct. The landing of the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps at Gallipoli. It's a bit like Memorial Day or Veterans Day. Who would like to go next? Oh, you're going to come together. Okay, all right. How many years does a U.S. senator serve?
Way too many.
I'm going to need a number.
That is the right answer.
Six, four.
Wrong. It's wrong. It's how many?
Six.
All right.
Sorry.
What is represented by the Commonwealth Star on the Australian national flag? Is it A, the six states and 1 point for the territories? Is it B, the British heritage? Or C, the Southern Cross? The Commonwealth Star on the Australian national flag.
C.
C.
That's wrong, obviously.
Oh, boo!
Fucking audience.
What was it?
It is the six states and 1 point for the territories.
Fuck.
Which we all learned from reading the book that teaches us all this, The Common Bond. Next up. What is, back to our host. What is Australia's national flower? Is it A, the tulip, B, the rose, or C, the golden wattle?
Gotta be C.
It's gotta be C, right?
C.
It is, it's the golden wattle. A beautiful yellow flower.
Here we go. Points on the board.
Points on the board. I'll come over here. All right, who wants to go next from over here? Okay, hi. What's your name?
Francis,
hi. Are you from Melbourne?
Yes.
What a city. You live outside? About an hour and a half. Oh, but in of doors. If the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the American president?
There's the house.
You got it.
Amazing. Well done.
All right, boys. What is the national anthem of Australia? Is it A, Waltzing Matilda? B, a song we all love out here? Is it B, God Save the Queen? Or is it C, Advance Australia Fair? Come on, Tommy. What is the world you've been saving?
It's not a trivia show.
Ben would know.
Do you think it's God Save the Queen?
No.
No, that's I don't know. I thought they'd keep
I think it's
it
C.
up.
It's C.
How could it be God Save the Queen when you think about it? She dead.
C.
You got it. It's Advance Australia Fair. All right, who would like to go from over here? Oh, hi. Well, you can't point. You know what? Fuck you for pointing at your friend. Name two cabinet-level positions in the U.S. government. Two cabinet-level positions. Stop helping, kind Australians. Mouthy, nice people.
Secretary?
That is okay. Of what? Of what?
Secretary of War and Secretary of State.
Wrong. There is no Secretary of War. That's Trump talk.
I was going to say there is now.
Wrong.
Not by law.
All right. When did the first fleet of convict ships arrive in Australia? Was it July 4th, 1776? The 1st of January, 1800? Or the 26th of January, 1788.
I think it's C, right? It's
C, right.
C?
C.
C, that's correct. One of Australia's proudest moments, I guess. Some weird history you guys got. Love it here. Look. You're just up. What's happening? Okay, sit down, you prisoner. Sit down. Act like this isn't a prison anymore. Jumping up. All right. Here, let's do one. I'm doing it.
So ready.
All right, ready?
Yes.
When was the U.S. Constitution written? It was in the olden days. Hit the nail on the head there. You're so cocky. Now we're talking and you don't have a fucking answer. But you know what? Oh, I'm getting punched.
Get his ass.
John, Tommy, Dan, when was the U.S. Constitution written?
Let's
Come
see.
On, boys.
1783?
Oh, you're getting so close to it. The Australians know it's 1787.
So close.
So close.
Right. So close.
So close.
Well done.
These are hard. These are hard. Oh, let's give you a, all right. Let's do this. Who is Australia's head of state? Is it A, this is a sensitive topic. It's a sensitive topic. Is it A, just chill out. Just for the rest of the game, act like you're still a colony. I'm gonna get killed out here. All right, A, is it the Prime Minister? Is it B, the Governor General? Or is it C, the King of Australia, His Majesty King Charles III?
C.
That's, yeah, no, it is. It is King Charles. It is King Charles. I read the book today. Why don't you all take your fucking test again? The Governor General is his representative. You are all still fucking subjects of that inbred fucking London. You can pretend all you want otherwise, but until you change your constitution, you work for Charles.
Guess we're not getting asylum here.
Sorry, I got a little upset there for a second. Why does our flag have 13 stripes?
It's the 13 original colors.
You got it. Thank you. See, we're coming back. What is the role of the Governor General in Australia? Is it A?
Get mocked by Charles.
A, make all the government decisions. B, lead the parliament. Or C, act as the king's representative and perform ceremonial and constitutional duties.
Sounds like C on this one.
You got it.
Nice.
Let's do one more question out here amongst all these love. Hi. What's your name?
Ash.
Name one of the two longest rivers in the United States.
Mississippi.
You got it. The other is the Missouri. And as I come back, Melbourne, you won the game. And as I come back...
Run.
As I come back, I just want to say that in learning a lot about your country, I came to find out that in 1975, your supposedly ceremonial Governor General committed a fucking coup. There was a coup d'etat in Australia in 1975. Boo me all you want. You know I'm right. And then in 1975... the fucking King of England had a coup in your country and you all just fucking ate it. Right? The CIA did it. You know what? There's a lot you can blame on us. There's a lot you can blame on us, but not the 1975 Governor General thing. You did that. You know what? You lose the game. My boys won the game. And we'll be right back.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Acorns. There were times in my past when I wasn't investing, especially when I was young, and I just didn't know how to do it. And I didn't know, like, there was never a good time to start. It was the kind of thing I put off. And even when I worked for the government and I had like a government
TSP,
retirement,
baby.
TSP, I like for a while I wasn't putting cash. I was just like, wasn't doing it right. And finally I was like, this is stupid. You have to think about it. And there are ways that can make it really easy. If you wait around, you're missing the opportunity because just investing a little, especially when you're early in your career, can really make a difference in the long run. One way to do that is Acorns. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you. Whether you're starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every stage of life. The Acorns potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is all in one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/crooked or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customer accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolios. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/crooked.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, let's get back to talking about America. Clearly a superior country, because as most of you know, well, that was some heavy sarcasm there, because I was about to say, as most of you know,
they haven't gotten sarcasm here yet.
Our government has been sending roving paramilitary squads into our cities and towns to round up immigrants and citizens alike, so that's what we're dealing with. But there's been some promising news on that front this week. Democrats in Congress are standing strong in refusing to fund the Department of Homeland Security unless Trump and Republicans agree to rein in ICE. A Trump-appointed judge, of all judges, just ruled that the administration must no longer violate thousands of immigrants' constitutional rights by locking them up without access to lawyers. And in Minnesota, Border Czar Tom Homan and Governor Tim Walz announced that Operation Metro Surge, which has terrorized the people of Minneapolis, has finally ended. And here's what Tim Walz had to say at his press conference.
The federal government needs to pay for what they broke here.
We've got children that a core memory for them will be their classmate being taken away. And that will stick with them the rest of their lives. And my hope is what sticks with them is human decency wins out, rule of law matters, all the surge is going, and they're going immediately. So as soon as they can pack their stuff, book a plane, move on, I would volunteer. We will help you get to the airport. We will clear the roads to get you to the airport. I will come over and pack your damn bags if that's what it takes.
Minnesota nice right there.
Yeah,
that's Tim Walz.
Love that.
That's a Tim Walz we loved.
That's great.
Tim Walz packing the bags, the Under Armour shirts, the photos of the kids they're not allowed to see.
Love it. You were in Minneapolis a couple weeks after the killing of Alex Preddy. What are some lessons you think we can take away from what happened here?
So I think something that will always stick with me, something I've never seen in an American city, are just parents standing on street corners all throughout the city in vests with whistles, kind of these sentinels standing guard of the schools, preschools, middle schools, high schools, in case ICE shows up. That is an organic outpouring of empathy, compassion, of people standing up for their neighbors in their community, and that group of unarmed people were strong enough to force the Trump administration into retreat. When, as something I've said before,
dictators look stronger than they are. Democracy looks weaker than it is. But it is very powerful. We are very powerful. The American people are powerful. And they underestimate that because I think they equate being kind with being weak. But you can be kind and tough. And I think that's what the people of the Twin Cities showed. And I think that's what we have to show as Americans. And I just think we can. And that is why I think when we worry about what they're going to do to take over our elections, worry about what they're going to do to throw members of Congress in jail, we have to remember that we are still stronger than them, and we should not give them power that they haven't taken, because we will hold them back as, we will set how far they go. They will not decide how far they go.
Yeah. So, Dan, another two polls came out this week, one from NBC, one from the Associated Press, that show Trump's approval on immigration at record lows. I think in the AP poll, his approval on immigration is even lower than his economic approval.
How's his economic approval?
Not great either. Not great either. Though immigration being lower, I've been reliably told that only economic issues are what people care about. So it's nice to see that. I am sure that that's one reason Democrats in Congress feel like very confident heading into this mini shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security, which will probably take effect by the time people listen to this podcast. How do you think, once the Department of Homeland Security shuts down, Democrats win this fight, and what does a win look like?
So whenever you are dealing with a budget or government funding shutdown, there's a political win and a substantive win. They're not always the same thing. So let's talk about the political win first. What Democrats, as you point out in this polling, they have the high ground here. And this is really going to require Democrats in Congress to change their mentality, because our natural assumption since the day Trump came down the escalator is, if the conversation is about immigration, it's bad for Democrats. And that is no longer the case. Immigration, it went from Trump's greatest strength to a glaring weakness. And so we have the political winds that are back here. We should be strong. And it's positive to know that talking to senators, they believe that Democrats will stand strong here. The way I think they carry the message here is they stand strong. They are very loud and clear about what it is they're asking for, and be very specific that all that they are asking for is for people to stop wearing masks, for ICE agents to have to use judicial warrants, like our Constitution says, before they arrest people, that ICE and CBP agents adopt the same standards for use of force as every other federal law enforcement officer in the country. That's all we're asking for. And then the other thing here is we care about ICE and CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol. And Democrats are willing to fund the rest of the Department of Homeland Security tomorrow if Republicans will agree to it. We will fund the Transportation Security Administration. We'll fund everything other than that. And so they force Republicans to vote against that or to say they will not do that. They put them in a position of being unreasonable. And the only thing that Democrats cannot do here is to do what they did at the end of the last shutdown, which is to quit with nothing, to fold their cards before getting anything else. If the DHS has to be shut down through the election, through the swearing in of the Democratic majority in the House and maybe the Senate, then that's what has to happen here. Because honestly, ICE has money. Like, we should be very clear, ICE has $125 billion. They're not going to suffer here, but there is a principle here in that we will not vote to give a single penny to this agency that has killed American citizens, that has terrorized American communities, without the most basic guardrails you could possibly ask for. And we have to stand by that. Because if we're not going to do that, then this is going to that would be tremendously damaging if we fold our cards here.
And we should be clear, too, within the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, right? Those are the people at the airports who, make sure when you go through security. And if TSA will work without pay. They'll have to work without pay for a while. But, last time we had a shutdown, the airports, you get a lot of delays and then travelers.
But that's the FAA, which is funded.
Yep. At some point, the TSA thing starts getting a little funky. But I do think, and the Coast Guard, too, and FEMA, right, which is emergency management.
And we'd fund them.
And so I think at some point, the Republicans will say, oh, look, the Democrats are hurting people by doing all this. And I think, Democrats have to say, no. We'll fund this immediately. And if you want to leave the Department of Homeland Security, the rest of it, ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, unfunded for the rest of the year, great. We don't care. I don't think there's less pressure on Democrats over DHS than there was when the whole government was shut 100%. Down over the Affordable Care Act.
ICE's sure. approval rating is down 30 points in the last year.
Yeah.
So if they want to, if the Republicans want to make it hard for people to go through airports, they want to keep the Coast Guard unfunded, they want to keep the rest of our Homeland Security unfunded to pay for the massed paramilitary groups terrorizing American communities that Americans, including even 24% of Republicans, disapprove of, that's their choice and they should pay a price for it.
Yeah, I agree. Tommy, while we're on the subject of the Department of Homeland Security, we should talk about Lasergate, which I briefly mentioned at the top of the show. So again, the headline here is that Customs and Border Patrol reportedly used an anti-drone laser on loan from the Pentagon to shoot down a party balloon flying over El Paso.
Party pew-pew-pewpers.
Unfucking believable.
Is my mic on?
Can someone turn it off? So they shoot down the party balloon with the laser on loan from the DOD.
Yeah.
Without giving the Federal Aviation Administration a heads up. So the FAA then briefly closes the airspace over El Paso in Texas, which is a city of about 1 million people. Why would they do that? Why are we shooting Defense Department lasers in a situation where we're not at war?
Like, can I add one more question to this?
Yeah.
What's a party balloon?
Right.
That we cannot answer. We are all searching for this today. We don't know. We think it's just a Mylar balloon?
Yeah, we need better reporting on this.
Yeah, we need better balloons.
Is it Mylar? Is it just helium?
Who's on the balloon beat?
It's got to be helium.
99 red
balloons.
It's
got to be in the air.
What's going on?
Yeah. So the weapon system itself is actually pretty cool, but it's shocking how bad they fucked this up. So the system itself is called LOCUST, or the Palletized High Energy Laser, PHEL. Great name. So it's like a 7x7 box. You can slap it on the back of a truck. There is one like optic is a laser. One is a guidance system, and I think it's sort of like bolt into whatever radar you have around. And what it does is provide sort of a mini air defense bubble for deployed troops. And anyone who has seen footage of what it is like on the front line in Ukraine knows that like war these days is drones that you could often buy at Best Buy or whatever, that you strap a grenade to. Sometimes they use AI guidance, and they're unmanned systems that are autonomous that are just, you know, absolutely lethal. And so what this system does is it provides a way to defend against those. Like it's a 20 kilowatt laser, that which is actually not that much. It's kind of like the low end of the spectrum. I read it was like 350 light bulbs basically, but you direct it the size of a dime. And over time, it's a shitload of energy. So I watched a promotional video this company did about their weapon system on YouTube, and they melted a 2-inch metal coin from half a mile away in 1.5 seconds. And the reason this is important is because basically cost, like normal missile defense systems, the interceptor missiles cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars. This is basically like $1 or $2, $3 per kill. So a good system.
Per kill is what you said.
Per fire. So there's a good thing. It's like,
Tommy, have you purchased one of these lasers?
We cannot. I don't think
he's
so.
Like, he's like,
the laser.
We should tell you. Tommy's on the board of Raytheon. Do we not mention that?
Are you going to check the box when we go through customs that you cannot be bringing the laser? Okay.
But it's like, the balloon costs more than the laser.
Yeah. Well, it's like unlimited ammo. Yes. You could take out a balloon for less than the price of the balloon. And so
that's why laser was such a good weapon in Contra.
apparently, the cartels are flying drones like these over the border. They're tracking CBP, so they know where they are, and like they'll see the customs officials move one way, and they'll send whatever drugs over the border the other. So what it seems like happened was the Army acquired some of these systems, they loaned them to DHS, who gave them to CBP, and these cowboy assholes just started firing these fucking things at balloons without telling anyone. And the FAA was like, whoa, 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 we got to ground all the planes. But then they announced that we had to ground all the planes for 10 days, which I don't understand. It's like, it's
and
not
they,
a...
And they lied, right? And they said, they didn't say it was a balloon at first. They said it was like drugs, right?
Yeah, there were multiple stories coming out. At first it was it didn't make any sense. And so what this story to me suggests, that this is what happens when You have a national security advisor who is also the Secretary of State, who until recently was the chief archivist and is like seemingly the president of Venezuela. What?
Did he lose the archivist
job? Yes, he did. He did. And he's also running Venezuela. And so that guy is the person, Marco Rubio should be coordinating the interagency to be like, all right, we got this problem of like cartels on the border. They're flying drones. They're tracking our agents so they can traffic things across the border. Here's the solution. Here's how we're going to work together to make sure that we don't shoot U.S. or Mexican commercial planes by accident. But no one told the FAA. So they just like did this. Everyone freaked out, understandably. And it was a complete disaster.
And it sounds like no one told RFK Jr. because his shipment was in that balloon.
Yeah, that was just a floating toilet across the border.
That guy's just got to go find another toilet.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just idiots. Idiots.
Yeah.
Running the government. Transportation secretary was a former cast member on The Real World. He's
and honestly, he's one of the better ones.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, well, he's fucked up too.
I don't think this is on him, is it? The balloon thing?
He's in charge of the FAA.
Didn't it seem like the 10-day shutdown thing was kind of like like a way of being like, we weren't told this was happening. We're going to be kind of like, we're going to be like pissy about it.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, what's the end game there?
It's also like a serious thing. Like in the El Paso airport, there were like medevacs that needed to get out of there. They were like people, it's not just like people traveling into El Paso, like people need to get out of there. And there was like the airspace was shut down because they shot a fucking laser at a balloon.
I don't think they told the Mexican government either. Yeah, there's a lot of problems.
No, no. And it's like the 10th story that's on the New York Times because everything else is fucked up too. All right. That's the news for now.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Blinds.com. If you've ever thought about upgrading your window treatments but didn't want the hassle, Blinds.com is here to change the game. They're the only company that lets you shop custom blinds and shades online, then backs it up with professional in-home measure and installation services. At Blinds.com, you can skip the stress and get expert design advice through their convenient virtual consultations on your schedule. Do it yourself or sit back and let Blinds.com handle everything from measure to install. Either way, you have access to experts every step of the way. Blinds.com makes it easy to get the designer look without the showroom markups. They're on a mission to make custom window treatments easy and affordable for everyone. Get the same quality and service you would at other high-end stores, but at a fraction of the price at Blinds.com. Orders are backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy, they'll make it right. They're breaking the mold, but they're not new to the game. Blinds.com has been around for 29 years and has covered over 25 million windows, making them the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Right now, Blinds.com is giving our listeners an exclusive $50 off when you spend $500 or more. Just use code CROOKED at checkout. Limited time offer. Rules and restrictions apply. See Blinds.com for details.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now it's time for OK Stop. Here's how it works. We'll roll a clip. And when we want to stop to talk about it, we'll say, okay, stop. In America, we call it Super Bowl Sunday. Here in Melbourne, we suppose it would be Super Bowl Monday. And that raised a lot of questions for us. President Franklin Roosevelt described December 7th, 1941, the day that Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, as a day that would live in infamy. But here that was December 8th. So what day lives in infamy? We refer to the terrible events of September 11th, 2001 as 9/11, but here it was 12/9. Anyway, this week a lot of American conservatives, including Megyn Kelly, watched Bad Bunny, arguably the most popular musician in the world, perform the halftime show during the Super Bowl.
But for people like Megyn Kelly, it was like a cultural 12-9. And so, let us all watch and wonder as Megyn Kelly, in conversation with Piers Morgan,
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, he's the hero here.
Watch his face. It's so funny.
As Megyn absolutely crashes out.
I'm sorry, Piers, but to get up there and perform the whole show in Spanish is a middle finger to the rest of America. Who gives a damn that we have 40 million Spanish speakers in the United States? We have 310 million who don't speak a lick of Spanish. This is supposed to be a unifying event for the country, not for the Latinos, not for one small group, but for the country.
Okay, stop. I just want to say, obviously, this is shocking. It's funny because in the context of the rant, because when she does a lot of like Evita-like gestures for someone who's railing against Latin culture, she's up there being like arms up on the balcony.
Also, the Super Bowl is not a unifying event. It is an opportunity for the NFL to make as much money as humanly possible for a group of billionaire owners. As the United States, we all pick one side or the other, and we watch them concuss each other to death on a field.
Yeah, as a Patriots fan, didn't feel very unifying.
Feel good for me.
The Super Bowl.
Well, the rest of us were unified about that result, so that's fine. But it really is 22 grown men beating living shit out of each other while we eat a 6-foot sub and have some wings.
Yes.
It is a great event, but
I love it.
The 15 minutes of Spanish didn't seem like that was an issue.
What is that character she did? like she's so angry. Like, what?
Yeah, she did accent work.
Yeah, it's really...
Work is generous.
All right, let's continue.
Black national anthem. We don't need a Spanish-speaking, non-English performing performer, and we don't need an ICE or America hater featured as our primetime entertainment.
Okay, what is the national language, officially the national language of the United States of America?
I mean, English. And there's been a push for many years to make it an official documented thing.
You don't have one.
If you would have let me finish my comment, I would have pointed out that people have been pushing to make it official.
Okay, right, so you're trying to make official.
This attitude that you have right here is why Great Britain have lost your culture. You ceded your culture to a bunch of radical...
Look, now the Muslims are catching strays.
That attitude by Piers Morgan is why the British have lost their culture. If only we were so lucky. Everywhere I look is British culture. I feel like Shakespeare's hanging on. All the American roles go to British actors.
Yeah, she thinks Shakespeare joined ISIS, and she's screaming at him. Also, many Americans can't speak English, if we're just being honest. A lot of us don't understand our own language particularly well, so.
I mean, our president has a faint grasp on the language to begin with.
She's so mad, too. It was very funny.
Mad.
She's like, and we don't need a Spanish-speaking, non-English performing.
It's just like...
No, we got you.
Like, our last several halftime shows were Kendrick Lamar artfully calling Drake a pedophile.
Yep.
Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg doing a 1990s hip-hop revival. The Weeknd. Like, were those nationally unifying events? I guess the Kendrick thing was an attack on Canada, which was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that did unify the country against Drake.
Yes.
No one has honestly seen him in public since. So.
Yeah, that was the end of him. It's funny that like every year the Super Bowl is in some sense about pedophilia. Let's continue.
Who came in and took over, and now it's gone. We're not allowing that here, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's Muslim. It's not happening in the United States of America. That's why President Trump was elected. And whether it's Bad Bunny, who is American but refuses to speak English in his performances, or anybody else, we have to keep the Super Bowl, which is a quintessential American event, football, that kind of football, is ours. They call it American football. And the halftime show and everything around it needs to stay quintessentially American. Not Spanish, not Muslim, not anything other than good old-fashioned American apple pie. There should be a meatloaf, maybe some fried chicken, and an English-speaking performer. That's what the Super Bowl should be.
Okay, stop.
Fucking meatloaf?
It's a classic Super Bowl food.
Yeah, Super Bowl is about long simmering oven dishes. It's about what you're pulling out of the hearth. What the fuck is she talking about?
Truly.
She's so angry. What are you angry about? You're so rich. You just sit in a studio and you yell all day.
Like, she sits in front of this specific background, hour after hour, day after day.
You just live in Connecticut with your fucking family and you're just sitting there yelling on a microphone. What's your problem?
I think as a rule, everyone should have to show the full context of where they're doing their content making. Like, I think that, like, this shot should have to go wide, show us in the room, like, the studio in her beautiful home, then watch it go through the I'm sure, hideously appointed beige fucking soulless interiors that she paid for. That looks like just a joyless gray expanse of what life could be or should be if you were a person who knew how to be happy. But we should have to see that. I think we should get to see that. Because what are you so mad about? What are you so mad about? By the way, there was an American flag.
It was cool. It was a cool concert.
It was fun in the moment to watch a lot of MAGA discover that Puerto Rico is part of America.
Yes. Yes, it was.
But it's also like, it's 15 minutes.
Muted.
For 15 minutes, someone who disagrees with you sang a couple songs. That's it. You could have gone pee. You could have gone and get some extra meatloaf. A lot of options.
Just like, wait, fucking a huge mix of cultures and languages. That is quintessentially American. That is the whole fucking country.
That is the whole point of our politics right now, is the disagreement with that idea.
Read the all the documents, all of them. Read them.
I just can't overstate how little you'll see meatloaf at a Super Bowl party. I've never, ever in my life seen meatloaf at a Super Bowl.
Never.
It's chips and dips and wings and more dips.
That's because you're going to all the Spanish-speaking Muslim ones.
Also,
I would leave a Super Bowl party if I saw meatloaf. I'd be out of there.
Also, we stole meatloaf from the Germans. It was a traditional minced meat dish that they stole from the Romans. That's how culture works. You steal things from the new guy.
Did you Google the origins of meatloaf?
I Googled it, yes. ChatGPT helped me out with that.
Yeah, I just...
Meatloaf, better in the original German.
I think it would be very fun to have a Super Bowl party, invite Megyn Kelly over, never say a word about it, and then just be like, Megyn, care for Penang curry?
Megyn, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, Megyn, welcome to our seat. You must try the sashimi. We have a wonderful spread, all of our favorites.
I'll be over here on my prayer mat.
We actually like to watch the Super Bowl facing east. Now.
When you make Pierce Morgan look like the reasonable one, Jesus Christ.
I told you he was the hero here.
Let's not let Pierce Morgan off the hook, because all you can see in Pierce Morgan's shit-eating grin is, I'm viral again, baby,
yeah,
Pierce.
Right.
Let it keep it going, Megyn. It's another great day for Pierce. Attention. That's my Super Bowl food. Nosh, nosh, nosh. Attention. And that's okay, stop.
That's our show for tonight. Melbourne, we love you. Thank you so much.
If you want to listen to Pod Save America ad-free and get access to exclusive podcasts, go to crooked.com/friends to subscribe on Supercast, Substack, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts. Also, please consider leaving us a review. That helps boost this episode and everything we do here at Crooked. Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. Our producer is Saul Rubin. Our associate producer is Farah Safari. Austin Fisher is our senior producer. Reed Cherlin is our executive editor. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. The show is mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Jordan Cantor is our sound engineer, with audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Naomi Sengel is our executive assistant. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Haley Jones, Ben Hefcoat, Mia Kelman, Kirill Pelaviv, David Tolles, and Ryan Young. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.